Show to camera, John Ritchie. It is 94 WIP. Time's yours today at 1:45. And, of course, a lot of discussion about the Eagles. Also some on the 76ers and the Phillies. Let's turn our attention to the Phils and welcome in to the show for the first time this season. Now in his early going of his third season announcing Phillies games here on WIP, Mr. Kevin Franzen. How you doing, Kevin?
What's up, boys? How you doing?
Doing great. Thanks for joining us.
We're excited, man.
And I like coming on just because I get to hear the deep voice of John Ritchie.
Oh, wow.
Thanks. Fantastic.
It's too bad you got to hear the words he actually says, though. You know, this is.
Oh, no, that's your side. That's your side.
He's not Barry White over here.
He's a Stanford guy. Come on. It's smart. We know that.
Thank you.
All right, Kevin, let's get to it. The season's about a month away. Of course, you announced the game yesterday. A lot of parts of this team to hit. And let's start with the starting pitching. We know 1, 2, and 3. We just do. What's the best case scenario for the Phillies of who wins the fourth and fifth spot in the rotation?
Best case scenario is like three guys win that spot, right? The more you want one or two guys to step up and be above and beyond. But fact of the matter is we need depth. This is a season we don't know anything about as far as pitcher health.
Yep.
Early on, they'll probably be really strong. But what happens, like, this is a different dog days that we're going to see this year because of the non-build-up from last year. So whether it's, you know, Matt Moore, Chase Anderson, Spencer Howard, or, you know, Vince Velasquez, I don't know. But let's say three of the four guys actually prove themselves in spring training. Isn't that better? Isn't that what you want?
For sure. No, for sure. All right, let's talk about Howard. What did you see from him last year, and how do you project him this season?
The biggest question mark. I mean, he comes up and he was already out of his routine from the beginning. He was like 8 days off since he had pitched, not going from from the alternate site to a big league game. That's how you're making your debut. You're not facing that competition. They're facing the same four guys in the minor league site last year, right? So that's number one. Number two, the drastic dip in velocity from him from third inning to fourth inning was like 3 miles an hour.
Wow.
And then the other part too is this guy in the minor leagues has never thrown more than six innings in the regular season, right? So what does that say about him, you know, and how he's been developed? You're not going to go out there and say, oh yeah, this guy's going to be a chance to be a 7-8 inning guy. He hasn't proven that he can get to seven, right? And that's the scary part with me. So for a lot of intents and purposes, I want to see how that velocity is. Is it consistent? And we're not obviously not going to see that, until what? Start three or four maybe when he gets into the third, fourth inning. But that's going to be something that I'm going to be paying attention to, again, with that added depth, right, with Matt Moore, with Chase Anderson, with Vince Velasquez, with other guys within that, you know, the time frame of having – or not even the timer, the positional frame of having the depth, they don't have to rush Spencer to where this guy needs to be the guy. Mm-hmm. Maybe they put him in the pen for a little bit. Maybe that's where he's suited for this year. I don't know. We don't know what's going to happen, but there's a lot of proving that he has to do, like many of the guys do. But proof for me with him is that third, fourth inning. Do we see the drop? Fourth, fifth inning? Do we see a drop in the velocity? If he can keep it up, that's a good, and not only good, a great sign for us.
What are you watching to evaluate Vince Velasquez on that same scale, you know, to determine whether he belongs in the bullpen by season's end?
Belief, I think, number one, he could talk all he wants about belief in himself and doing this. You got to prove it on the field, mm-hmm. right? I think that's more than anything. The thing that I watch with him, when he goes well, he doesn't think. When he thinks, he's done. It's like most athletes, right? There's the top 1% of all athletes that just they can get consumed in thought and still perform. He's not one of those. He mm-hmm. consumes himself with thought, and I always call it when he starts doing the toe tap on the rubber, I'm like, that's not good. The moment he does the toe taps that you'll see back and forth, he's doing, you know, his forearms go to his side, and he's wiping away sweat, and he's tapping. I'm like, uh-oh, he's thinking, and that's mm-hmm. not good. So for me, with Vince, it's get on the mound and go. If he has a good tempo, like the – Less chance for thought on that. Trust the guy that's behind there with Jeff Mathis, Andrew Knapp. When JT gets out there, JT, and go. Until then, I can't believe in him being a starting pitcher, you know, moving forward until he proves otherwise.
How fixed is our bullpen?
On paper, it's extremely fixed. But, again, there's that proof thing, right?
Sure.
You got to go out and do it. Obviously, the Hector Neris going into free agency next year, that's one of a guy that's going to be motivated. Archie Bradley, one-year deal, huge. The biggest thing for me, especially – and I speak from being an emotional guy, like, we need more emotion on that field. And I wanted more emotion out of the pen. Well, Archie Bradley is that type of guy, right? You need more of that. Need some of that bravado. And then it might, you know, Connor Brogdon doesn't say a word, doesn't do anything, goes out and throws 98.
I like him.
So for me, being around someone like that to show that confidence all the time, amazing. I think the other thing with Connor Brogdon is when you get just absolutely destroyed like he did at the very first outing, two outings that he had before getting sent down, the way he responded when he came back, I'm like, oh, sky's the limit for this guy.
Yeah.
So then you add in Alvarado, you add in Coonrod, Tony Watson and Brandon Kinsler, you know, they're on minor league deals. There's depth, and not only depth, quality depth. That's what we always talk about. It's not just about having guys. It's about having guys that are very capable at helping you win. And those that's what they've done throughout this whole roster.
Don't forget about JoJo.
Yeah.
JoJo Romero. Well, I think he's about to explode into Philly sports culture.
Yeah, him and that Red Bull, you know, sponsorship that he'll have. With the
Kevin,
send some up to the booth.
Kevin, yeah. Kevin Fran. Well, they'd have to ship that up to Philly right now, Kevin. Right?
Oh, that's right. Yeah, yeah.
Kevin.
No one knew that we were in Philadelphia. They all thought we were in Clearwater yesterday.
Oh, I didn't know that. Kevin Franzen with us here as we get ready for another season of Phil's Baseball. Kevin, what's the key to unlocking and kind of unleashing Hoskins? I mean, I thought, frankly, the first year and a half of his career was almost stunning in how great he was, and not so much lately. What's the key to getting him back to being great?
Where he was at the very end last year, and it – I say it on air. A lot of guys will talk about it, but it's just, look, hitting a ball to right field on a line and lining out for an out is not a bad result. And for Reese, it's such a good, if not great, result. If he's lining out to right field, that's, you know, wherever the right fielder is, that's his foul pole on that side. Using that right center field gap, he could stay on things. It makes the pull side even better. He just clips it out in front, boom, he's starting to rocket things. We saw so many less foul balls over the third base dugout last year. In the shortened season, I get it. It's, you know, not even close to half of the amount of bats he had the year before. But 2 years ago, he put two balls out of stadiums over the third base dugout. One in St. Louis, and I believe – the other one was not even the stadium. It was in Milwaukee. And you're going, like, how is this possible? You know, you should not be able to do that. Mm-hmm. So it just tells me you didn't trust yourself. You're just thinking, pull, pull, pull. The moment he uses right center field gap, gets into that, as he showed last year, doesn't mean it has to be a hit or anything. It just means his stroke is locked in and going up the middle. For me, it's that right center field action that he has makes everything on the left center field, you know, left side, way more dangerous, and he's back to normal.
What can you tell us about this Matt Joyce fella?
He's just going to, like, you know, in the non-analytical terms, right, you're always going to hear he's like a dude. He's a pro. He's mm-hmm. going to give you pro at-bats. He's accepted the role of being a bench guy. Hardest thing for any player is to say, oh, I'm a bench guy. That's not a negative thing. There are so many dangers that come from a guy having that thought process for a manager, right? Like being able to put a guy out there that believes in himself. I don't need all these ABs. I'm going to go do it. He can create that pinch hitting ability, that guy that you're looking at going, ooh, who? Oh, they got Joyce and they got Miller. Like, what are we going to do? How are we going to match up? You know, it just mm-hmm. gives them added depth as far as pinch hitting more, you know, Brad Miller, as far as the outfielder side, I think would play more. Matt Joyce will be he's a hell of a teammate from buddies that have played with him, know him, and someone that's going to help out in bringing up some of the younger guys.
Kevin Franzen with us here. Kevin, if none of the center fielders get hurt and they all stay healthy, when this season is over, who do you think plays the most games as a starting center fielder for the Phils this year?
Okay, so coin flip and then coin flip. I don't know. I'm going to say it's going to end up being Hazley. I don't think Roman for me, Roman Quinn hasn't done enough anyways to say that he's an everyday center fielder.
It'd also be a miracle if he doesn't get hurt. I mean, frankly,
I agree. We all hope that he never gets hurt, right? But there's certain things that are seems to be facts, and he has gotten hurt year after year.
Yep.
He's a guy that needs to put the ball in play. You can do whatever you want up until two strikes in my mind, but with the amount of speed that he has and the inability for him to put the ball in play is very concerning. I would die to be that fast. It would be the greatest thing on earth. I'm like, I don't care if I'm a singles guy in general, right? If I'm getting on base, I create havoc. I change so many games being on first base with that speed of Roman Quinn. I change what a manager, the catcher, the pitcher's thought process is if I'm on base. But if you're flying out, what are you doing? If it's early in the counts, absolutely, you're going to have that, right? You're taking your chance. He's shown he has pop. But with two strikes, use the ability and have the ability to put the ball in play and run.
Kevin, McCutcheon's not going to be an MVP guy again. That guy's long gone. But
says who?
Says me. Says probably everybody. But what he was 2 years ago out of the gate for the Phils before the knee injury was fantastic. Yep. Can he be that guy again?
Yes. Yes. I mean, I don't know if you did because you were on air. Or actually, you weren't on air. We were on air. Yesterday, seeing him and his actions. Last year, his left knee was his knee that was blown out. And you could see the stiffness in it, right?
Yep.
We all know that is, from watching football players other than Adrian Peterson in the last few years, no one comes back that first year and is fine. Mm-hmm. To me, the ability for him to just move without a limp, he looks that athletic self again. He has a little bit of a leg kick that is – you just look at his ways, the way he's moving, and you're going, oh, yeah. There's no hindrance of that ACL right now, and that's a great thing.
That's great. Yeah.
Every coach I've talked to, and I'm trying as much as I can because of being away from them, is asking about McCutcheon. Every single one is just like, this dude's on a mission. This is different than even when he was here initially. He's moving better, and that
in a contract year, trying to get one more big contract, relatively big contract in his career, very motivated.
Oh, absolutely. To be able to be like Kutch, he's still, as bad as I feel like he struggled at the beginning of the year, he ended up with 10 bombs, right? And he started playing better at the end, still had the noticeable limp towards the end of the season, but his at-bats were better, his takes were better. Early on, we didn't see those takes. We didn't see how he's the guy that bat flips takes or walks, right? And he wasn't bat flipping walks last year. Mm-hmm. It took a while to get that Kutch swag. And I feel like when we talk about Andrew McCutcheon, the way he sets the table, it's the way that he would actually he would take a 3-2 pitch, the first at bat of the game that is on the corner. He gets the ball called, but it was yep, did it. And he set the tone that way. It wasn't just about the home run or the double or whatever. It was his ability against these unbelievable starting pitchers they face in the East to just control it and be like, yeah, no problem, boys. And it's very satisfying. We saw that so long with Jimmy, in that leadoff role. And now we've had it last couple of years, and I think more especially this year with Andrew McCutcheon.
What should we expect from Alec Bohm this year?
I would love to say 338 and, a 900 OPS. That would be awesome. Here's what I truly expect from him. I expect him to actually get better at the plate, and it's hard to do that, and it's not about the average on this. I think it's about the ability to drive. He has the ability to take his walks. I feel like his adjustments with two strikes are uncanny for a young, big, long guy, right? It's not – you don't see that. What we talk about with Roman Quinn, you're like, Roman, you are half the size of Alec, and you are way faster than him, and he can put the ball in play at any point in time that he wants. Makes adjustments better than anything. The biggest thing with Alec is just being able to play through 162. It's that grind of the physical grind of being on the field all the time in the pressure cooker of the East this year. I think that he can get better offensively with the power, with the takes, as far as not swinging at everything at times. I just think sky's the limit with him based on adjustments that he makes within pitches, not at bat to at bat, but from pitch to pitch. You don't see that often, not from young hitters, and he's able to do that.
Kevin, we love having you on the show, man. We really do.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks so much, man.
Go back to the Eagles now. All right, go Phillies.
There he is. Kevin Franzen, of course, from the Phillies broadcast team here on WIP. James, you got some news?
Extra, extra. Indeed,
we got some breaking news. The 94 WIP is powered by Radio.com Sports and presented by BetQL. Become a better sports bettor and get smarter. To beat the books, download the BetQL app or visit BetQL.com today. Well, actually, not so much to the Eagles next. James Seltzer, the breaking news is?
Yeah, we got some good news. John Clark tweeting out breaking news. The Sixers and Flyers can now have around 2,500 to 300 fans at games. 3,000 fans at games. The city of Philadelphia has matched the state guidelines. Should start Sunday with the Flyers game. Tomorrow night for Sixers is probably too quick, he's saying. And the Phillies will be able to have around 8,000 fans at Citizens Bank Park.
There you go. So we expected this. This is one of those breaking news things that we pretty much expected to happen. Of course, we saw the news from the state of Pennsylvania. I think that was yesterday. But yes, to know that it is official that Philadelphia says now it's a go. And as James said, just a matter of days until there will be fans at games. You know, John, I think one of the, I don't know if irony is the right term here, but I'll just say maybe forgotten aspects of this entire pandemic is that the Eagles actually did have fans in the link for about two or three games last season. I don't know if everyone remembers that. Remember, they didn't initially.
They don't.
Yeah, the Eagles had fans. James, how many games would you say the Eagles had fans for?
Like, it was either two or three.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, remember, it took like a game or two to get there. They were fans. And then by like late October, they were phased out again. And I'm sure you're not the only one, John.
I had no recollection at all.
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Are you sure? A
couple weeks.
100% correct.
Couple weeks they had a few fans. But all right, let's go to the phone. So it's exciting to know that fans are coming back. Fans are going to be in the stands for the Pittsburgh Penguins tonight. No Sidney Crosby tonight. But in the state of Pennsylvania, Flyers Penguins tonight out there, there will be some fans in the stands. Penguins fans, obviously, tonight. Let's go to Enzo in Westchester. What's up, Enzo?
How you doing, Jeff?
Good, buddy.
John?
Hi.
What's going on, fellas? Back when Andy had an analogy for Joe about hitting that home run earlier.
Well, that's got no shot. I don't know what was said. I got a better shot to hit a home run than Taylor Heinicke has a better shot to be Super Bowl MVP than me hitting a home run in Major League Baseball.
Dude, I think a better analogy would have been you hitting a foul ball.
No, that I could do because I hit a foul ball for Real Cormier 13 months ago. So, no, I can do that. Come on, man.
I don't know, Joe.
Dude, Real Cormier was pumping it in there. I fouled off like three pitches.
Really?
Yeah. Come on, man. Now, was it Real Cormier in his prime at the age of 30? No. It was probably Real Cormier around the age of, 45 or 47, but fouled off some pitches.
I'll take your word on it.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
You got to rehaul, Joe. You got to overhaul this whole team. If you're the young kid and let's say we sit Jalen Hurts down and say, hey, we're going to take this season with a whole new young team, start over, and you're going to be one of the main guys to lead the team, I think he'll be down with that.
Well, if I'm Hurts, I would love to have some semblance of talent around me to give me a shot. I mean, yeah, he's going to love it if they hand him the job, but he's going to love it more if they give him a shot to have a shot. And he's going to have a greater shot if he's got Lane Johnson and Brandon Brooks. He just is.
I guess. No, I agree with that, but I think it's time to move on from that and be done holding on to these people like that and just move on, like Richie said. We need to overhaul the whole team. I agree with Richie. I disagree with you on that.
Don't you think, Enzo, they got a shot to win this division, though?
Do they have a shot to win this
like
division?
Like a legitimate shot, a real shot. Wide open division, and the Eagles, can totally get this done.
If there was any possibility in my mind that I thought they had a shot of winning this division, I wouldn't say overhaul the team.
Well, if you overhaul the team, it strips it dramatically reduces the chance to win the division, is my point. I think that would be unwise. Enzo, give me the only person to ever do
Wait, Joe, I got to make a point. I want to know when you guys get punished eventually, sooner or later. And I think the punishment should be that Richie and Seltzer get to pick who beats the hammer for four Fridays out of the month, for a whole month. And they get to pick who, and you don't know who that's going to be until that Friday, until that caller calls in and lets you know that he's about to beat the hammer.
It's not a bad idea. I will admit.
I like that a lot.
Yeah.
And that could be in conjunction with the more severe punishments.
Totally.
More severe?
Oh, you better believe it.
Am I going to – I mean, should I be dreading this?
Yes.
Oh.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You should definitely be dreading this.
Oh, no. Oh, no. All right. Give me what you got here. Who did something no one else has done?
I'm going to go with something that I think the odds would have to be to do this again, probably 1 in 50 million. I have no clue. But when Randy Johnson hit that bird pitching against San Fran, I don't see that happening again, dude.
But let me ask you a question, Enzo. I'm going to be a stickler here. Do you know for a fact that that never happened in the 1890s, 1910s, 1920s?
What a weasel, dude. You are a weasel. What a weasel.
I mean, were you there in 1870 when baseball was in its early days?
Oh, my God, dude.
I heard Walter Johnson once destroyed a bird.
You don't like being wrong, dude.
Enzo, you're giving me punishment ideas. I don't like it. Get out of here, Enzo. All right.
Thank you for the call.
Not bad.
That's constructive. That's good. That's a good suggestion.
Yeah. I mean.
You'd hate it.
I would hate it because you guys would stack the order. And Seltzer would create craft questions to their strengths.
You know, never. You think that I impugn the integrity of Beat the Hammer?
All right, coming up, time's yours, plus more phone calls on 94 WIP.